Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Plugged In, a Post Media podcast taking you down Canada's electric vehicle highway. I'm your host, Andrew McCready. Today we've got the youngest guest in our six seasons, but despite his age, he has accomplished a lot in the electric vehicle segment. Andrew Genovese is set to enter his fourth year at Ontario Tech University in Oshawa, Ontario, where he is pursuing a Bachelor of Automotive Engineering and Management degree. For the entirety of his third year, he served as the lead intern on Project Arrow, a very ambitious and ultimately very successful design and execution of Canada's first EV prototype. The architects of the project, the Automotive Parts and Manufacturers Association, tapped Ontario Tech University to be the build partner, and Andrew, along with other students and professors, helped in the creation of the prototype vehicle, which was revealed at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier this year. Thanks very much for joining us today, Andrew.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So as a question I ask all my guests, even though you're probably the youngest one I've had on, is the first EV you've ever driven, you ever drove, and your impressions of it at the time.
So the first EV I actually have ever test driven was actually a Kia EV6. This was actually at the auto show this past year at the Toronto Convention Center. And it was only a short test drive. You know, I just did it around their test track, and it was really exciting, especially because at the time I had already completed the build on Project Arrow, which we will get into shortly. So it was kind of interesting because the first production car that I drove was the Kia, and I've driven the Project Arrow vehicles. So comparing those were kind of interesting, but I thought it was kind of cool because, you know, with the instant torque and they're generally all wheel drive, and you know, no engines, you don't hear anything. It was just a different experience, to say the least.
Do you consider yourself a car guy?
Yeah, I certainly would. I mean, from a very young age, I've been, you know, playing with Hot Wheels, you know, as long as I can remember, always building little Lego sets of cars. And I got into, you know, racing at a young age, and I always was fascinated with, you know, Formula One too, especially now growing up. So basically from a young age, I've been passionate about cars as long as I can remember.
So there's a feeling that your generation, in fact, the past couple of generations, are not as in love with automobiles as previous generations. That's a feeling I think that my generation holds, kind of, or even from marketing and things, you know, all people, younger people just want an appliance. They don't have any passion for cars. Obviously, you're different from that, but do your peers feel the same way? I mean, do you see it as, I mean, is that a fair statement that maybe your generation won't be as passionate about cars as previous generations?
Yeah, I do agree with that to a certain extent. Like, I of course have my close automotive friends that are just as obsessed with cars as myself, but for the most part I find people are just looking for something to get them from A to B, and if it has four wheels, a steering wheel, and brakes, they're happy with it. So I do think that for the most part people my generation are typically not super thrilled or interested in cars. They're just like you said, an appliance, right? So I would say the majority of people are more focused on just an appliance as opposed to a hobby, interest, or a career.
Right. I think cars are a lot more, I mean, when I was a kid, cars were very uncomplicated. You could work on them yourselves and things.
Right.
So there was more of a kind of tactile relationship with your car. Whereas now, unless you have a computer degree almost or in the diagnostic tools, it's very difficult to kind of get involved with your car.
Totally. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, Ontario Tech University, tell me about your path there. How did you end up going to school there?
Sure. So when I was just wrapping up my final year in high school, I was looking for a post-secondary school that particularly was related to automotive and engineering. And given that automotive engineering as a career, as a degree, I should say, is not really a common one, Ontario Tech University actually has one of the most accredited ones in the province. So I checked out the school. It was a relatively new school. It's also smaller, which attracted me because I wasn't super interested in going to a school that had a large population. I'd rather have a smaller population where, I can maybe get a connection with the professors and have more time to learn and connect with people. So after touring the facility, they had a whole bunch of new technologies because it was a relatively new school too. Like I believe it's only about a 20-year-old university, which is like a baby compared to others. And they also have this Automotive Center of Excellence Research Center here, where they have a state-of-the-art climatic aerodynamic wind tunnel and other test chambers. They have a hemianechoic soundproof room. So there was a lot of attraction there just because of, my automotive interests and all the testing they do here. So I thought it was just a perfect fit to come to this school.
So you're now in your fourth year, is that's correct?
That's correct. Yes, I'm going into my fourth and final year.
So how has it evolved? I mean, from first year to fourth year, is it kind of a typical university program where the first year is more very general, and then as the years progress, it becomes more kind of, more discipline oriented?
Yes, you definitely got it right. So the first year, all the engineering disciplines take basically the exact same courses, and then as the years go by, it gets more and more specific to your program. So second year is when we branched off with, the automotive, mechanical, mechatronics students. We all sort of went one way, whereas the computer science, electrical, and nuclear went another way. And then third year is when you really get in, knees deep into your, for me, automotive courses. And then fourth year now is, full automotive related. It's learning about all sorts of different parts of the vehicles and types of technology, manufacturing processes. So it definitely gets more specific as you go on.
So what have you, I mean, if someone would have asked you going in, what do you expect to learn? And now that you're almost done, what's the biggest surprise that you've learned? I mean, was it pretty laid out and you've kind of marched along, or are there things that have kind of really taken you almost in a different direction and maybe your career path?
Yeah, totally. So I do think it was relatively laid out well at the beginning, but it's crazy to me how just within the span of 4 years, things have changed so much. Just as, we're learning about combustion engines and now we're switching over to EVs, right? Electric vehicles. So my program map, as we call it, so my layout of my courses has sort of switched more to an electrification future. So we're learning a lot more about battery technology, electric vehicles, autonomous technology. So we've shifted that, but besides that, it was laid out well and I've sort of learned what I've wanted to, about, different types of vehicles, the powertrain systems, motors, safety factors, as well as materials you have to use. So I've definitely learned what I wanted to.
Do you think it's, I mean, maybe in 20 years you kind of look at how the, electric vehicle adoption is increasing and, these kind of targets 2035, 2050. I mean, will ICE engines, will the internal combustion engine still be something you think that is taught 20 years from now just as a foundation, or do you think it'll come to a point where that technology is kind of, you can go study it on your own, but in terms of adapting to the world at large, it's not going to be necessary to know about.
I do think it's still something we should learn about, as it plays a huge part of the automotive history. Like, in my courses, we've still talked about steam engines and carburetors, and you don't really see those as often anymore. So I think it's a critical thing to learn because, it's the biggest evolution in the automotive field. So you have to learn where the roots started from and how we evolved.
Yeah, and I guess on the podcast in the past, we've had people talking about liquid hydrogen being used in ICE engines. So,
Right.
the whole idea of a piston-driven drivetrain is something that perhaps won't go away just because of electrification.
Totally.
Yeah, so still something to learn. Okay, so let's talk about Project Arrow. Tell us about it. I mean, tell us about, let's just give me the macro view. What is Project Arrow?
Sure. So Project Arrow is a fully Canadian-made electric vehicle prototype that was started off by the Automotive Parts Manufacturers Association. So it was a challenge by the federal government of Canada to build an EV in Canada with their own people, manufacturers, and technology. So the APMA, as we call them for short, said, "We believe we have everything it takes to do this." And from there, they reached out to numerous different companies and partners and said, "We want to build a vehicle, an EV specifically. Who wants to take part?" So there was 534 different companies that actually applied to work on this project. And at the end of it all, we chose just about 60 different Canadian companies to develop the parts, the technology, and integrate it all into the vehicle. And then from the Ontario Tech ACE side of things, we were actually selected as the build partner on the project. And then my role started as the full-time intern on the project. So I've been hands-on pretty much ever since day one of the build.
What an experience for you. I mean, that's typically something you'd get when you came out and went to work for a company, perhaps. So obviously an incredible opportunity for you to learn in this. You know, what's so interesting about the project is it integrates so many different technologies. It's not just kind of like a drive system. It's everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, there's so many new types of technology that we're trying to bring to the market. So just to give you a few examples, we have a company called Accessium, and they use gesture control and facial recognition technology. So you'll actually allow people with disabilities to drive the vehicle based on their gestures. And a company with PontoSense, they have AI-powered sensors which measure the presence and passenger location. So if you leave your child or pet in the vehicle, the car will actually notify you of this. We have smart textiles in the steering wheel, which will actually monitor your heart rate as you drive, done by a company called Myint. We have wearable technology by a company called Cloud DX. We have a solar-powered sunroof by Cap Solar. LetterTech autonomous technology, Fasco aerodynamically styled rims, like the list just goes on and on. There's a lot of new types of technology you don't see on the market right now.
Let's just take a break there. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Andrew about Project Arrow and maybe what lies ahead for him when he graduates. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, we're back with Andrew. So what was your biggest takeaway from Project Arrow? I mean, are you still involved? It's a completed car now. I've seen it drive. I've seen it at shows. Are you still involved with it, or is it kind of like a completed thing now?
Yeah, I'd say I'm still relatively involved with the vehicle. As you mentioned, it's been traveling on different events and shows now. It's going on a year-long North American tour. So I've been sort of one of the people that have been traveling with the car as a spokesperson and representative, as well as, you know, on the go repairs if needed. As you know, with prototype vehicles, you never know what's going to happen. So yeah, I'm still involved day to day, working with the car, standing next to it, talking to people about it and sharing what we've done.
What's the biggest thing you learned from the project?
How hard it is to build a vehicle. It is a very complicated process, even as electric vehicles have just about half the parts as an ICE vehicle traditionally does. But besides, you know, how difficult it was, you know, understanding how parts actually function, because, you know, I learned about them in class. You know, we talk about different motors, drivetrains, batteries, and then you talk about the wiring. But when you actually have to work on it and see how complex it is and how one single wire or fuse can ruin an entire circuit on the car and the doors won't open anymore, it's really interesting to see the real world applications.
Were there other students involved from the school and instructors, or was it more you were kind of like the point person for the school?
Yeah, so I'm the full-time intern, but we had a lot of other students here at the ACE Research Facility that worked on the project. We had graduate students. We actually had professors that did research on it and also had a contribution. So it was a pretty involved contribution from Ontario Tech side.
You must have been a busy guy considering this obviously it helps towards your graduation, but I'm assuming you still had courses during this time.
So fortunately enough, this has been my full-time gig for the last year now. So
wow.
I was, again, I say fortunate enough to spend just about every hour of the day on the car.
Nice.
So especially when the build was, you know, not complete, I was spending very long days, nights, weekends, putting pieces together and trying to get it done before the deadline. So I've definitely put in probably a significant amount of time, more so than other people, but we have had a large contribution overall from an ACE standpoint, as well as an Ontario Tech standpoint from students and professors.
So now that you've built an EV, you've been part of a team that has built an EV and you see it, what do you think is the greatest advantage of an electric vehicle?
I would say, especially for, let's say, Toronto, because I've been driving there so much recently for the CNE happening. When you're in stop and go traffic, you burn so much fuel with the ICE vehicles. So EVs, stop and go is really critical, and they progress so much better, and the efficiency is a lot greater when it's just stop and go, as opposed to on the highway for a couple hundred kilometers straight, no braking, which I find a lot of people do. They do a lot more city driving and highway driving typically in, you know, the GTA region. So I think EVs would be great for that. You know, you're not burning fossil fuels as well, so it's cleaner for the environment. And I think, you know, they're a lot of fun too. All-wheel drive, instant torque. Who doesn't love that?
Right, right. How about the biggest challenge of EVs, do you think?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge would definitely be the infrastructure right now. So, you know, charging stations are, I know, a huge issue and complaint by a lot of people that own EVs, you know, either having to wait an hour plus for a full charge or not even being able to find a station depending on where you are. So I definitely think that the infrastructure for EVs needs to significantly improve in order to maybe, you know, increase the amount of EVs that are sold, because people aren't super, you know, thrilled with, you know, having to wait an hour to charge their vehicle, or you can only go 300 kilometers and you have to find a charger in the middle of nowhere and there's only one. So I think that's definitely the biggest challenge.
So one of the really great aspects of going to OTU is they have a, as you mentioned, a wind tunnel there, which is pretty high tech. I know that you weren't really, the Project Aero wasn't really involved in that, but aerodynamics plays such a key role in not just efficiencies in ICE vehicles, but obviously in electric vehicles. Have you kind of explored that with the wind tunnel, or is that something that you guys have kind of talked about?
Yeah, totally. So we haven't done actual testing on it yet because it's been through so many different events and tests, but the vehicle was actually styled to be more aerodynamically efficient. You know, as I mentioned, our rims are low drag rims. Our windshield wipers are behind the hood, so it actually helps reduce drag. We don't have traditional side view mirrors or door handles, which also helps improve efficiency. And then just the body styling of the vehicle, it's very streamlined. So all these factors, they really help play into account with the aerodynamics efficiency, helping the battery not push as much power out and extend its life. But I'm sure at some point we're going to put in the wind tunnel and take some actual tests and see some true numbers.
You've got another year, or not even a year. Well, a year, I guess. You'll be graduating next spring, I assume?
Yes.
So what's the plan?
So I think after I graduate, which, you know, seems so close, but so far, you know, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to graduating and working, because, you know, even just this internship has really proved that I chose the correct field and I love the automotive industry, and I'm so excited to get my foot out there and start working. But I haven't really decided on specific path yet. You know, I'm so interested in so many new types of technology that are happening, and, you know, with the industry changing literally every single day, I don't know if I want to go work towards battery technology, autonomous technology, motors, or just vehicle styling. Like, everything interests me, so I'm just trying to see if there's a career out there that's going to be the best suited for me afterwards.
Yeah, well, I guess your involvement in Project Aero has kind of, it's a blessing and a curse in a sense. It's a blessing because you've seen everything, and you've had a finger in all these things, but it's a curse because it must be kind of overwhelming to choose which one you are, you know, most interested in pursuing.
Oh, absolutely. So I've gotten a little taste of manufacturing, of actual, and that's one thing I've always commented on is, you know, I've learned how to assemble vehicles. So learning to build a vehicle for manufacturability as well as maintenance is critical, as if it's a challenge to maintain, then it's going to be, you know, less attractive than other vehicles, especially if you bring it to the mechanic shop, it's going to cost more. And, you know, with the actual assembly, quality of parts, specific materials of parts, there's just so many different factors that come into play that are really interesting to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, listeners will probably be thinking about Project Aero and knowing that the technology was such a showcase for Canadian companies. But I think what we're learning speaking to you is that it's also been a kind of huge educational tool for everybody involved.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the takeaways we're really getting from this project too, is everyone that's worked on it's learning something. You know, it's all new for us, especially as Canadians. We don't build cars for ourselves here, so we're trying to prove that it's possible. We've built it, we've shown that it's possible to do it. Now we're trying to expand and make something bigger happen.
Okay, well, let's leave it on something bigger happening. That's great. Good. Well, yep. Thanks so much for joining us today, Andrew, and congrats on a great project you're involved with, and best of luck with your studies and your future career.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a great time.
Andrew Genovese is a fourth-year student at Ontario Tech University and served as a core member of the Project Aero Ontario Tech build team. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see what Andrew does after he graduates. Speaking with him is a reminder that the next generation is filled with the same kind of passionate thinkers and doers that came before, and ones who are well-equipped and motivated to solve the world's problems. Our discussion also underscored the integral role our post-secondary institutions play in the evolution of our mobility sector, and why it is so important to support these schools in their establishment of connections and relationships with the private sector. We often hear how Canada will play a critical role in the electric vehicle supply chain, from mining through to manufacturing, and an essential ingredient to that success is nurturing and providing opportunities for bright young minds like Andrew's. Kudos to Project Arrow. We've reached a point in time where every child born will have never known a world without electric vehicles, meaning that once they are getting their first driver's license, EVs will be the norm. That's it for this episode. Thanks very much to my guest, Andrew Genovese, my exceptional producer, Adam Foster, and you for joining me on another electrifying journey down the EV highway. We always welcome your comments and criticisms via email at pluggedin@postmedia.com. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new EVs in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. And be sure to subscribe to Plugged In wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode, and you'll also be able to listen to all the past episodes. And also check out the other three great driving.ca podcasts: the Driving Podcast, Truck Guy, and the Motormouth Podcast. Thanks as always for listening.